How can garbage get around to our spot? Are we responsible for it?
I think it's going to be interesting to see how we all, as people living in this area, start thinking about garbage.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Hi, my name is Linda, and I deal a lot with garbage issues in the city of Hamilton. I've been thinking a lot these days about what garbage is, and garbage, in my mind, is pretty much anything that you really can't do anything else with, I think is a good way to describe it. It's what's left over when you finish with your recycling and your composting and reusing what you can. It's debris, stuff that just isn't useful anymore in any way. We get rid of garbage in different ways, some that I think are better ways than others. In Hamilton, we get rid of garbage in two main ways. We've got what's essentially a big hole in the ground on the outskirts of the city where we dump garbage. We also have a big incinerator that burns garbage, and we end up with air pollution and with a whole pile of ash like you would have in the bottom of your fireplace after we finish burning all of that garbage. You know, go back to how we deal with garbage. I should have mentioned other ways, because what we do try to do in Hamilton more and more is take out the stuff that still can be used in some way, so that on garbage day at the end of most driveways you'll see recycling boxes, so that people are taking out things like metal cans and paper and things that we can do something else with, we can use again in another way. We also are encouraging in the city, through the city's efforts and citizen efforts, we're encouraging people to compost. So any sort of, whether it's potato peels or coffee grinds or anything like that, we're trying to encourage people to take those out of what we consider to be garbage and put them into a composter or reuse them in some way, put them back into some positive use. Not everybody's doing what they should be doing yet. So there are a lot of things that end up in the garbage, and that includes things that you can recycle, and it includes things that you could be composting or reusing, but they're ending up being thrown away as though they're garbage. And there's another whole huge group of stuff that ends up in the garbage that shouldn't. Old furniture that could be fixed up and reused. My gosh, the list goes on and on. There's a saying that someone's garbage is someone else's treasure. And so we're really bad in Hamilton and in a lot of other cities in Canada. Things end up in the garbage that somebody else might be able to make some use of. And actually, one exciting thing that the city of Hamilton is talking about that'll help us with that is the whole idea of setting up what they're going to call reuse centers, so that any of that sort of stuff that someone else might be able to make use of, but you decide you don't want anymore, could go to a reuse center, and somebody else could go there and pick it out and still continue to make use of it, so that it's not garbage anymore, it's something that's valuable. You may have heard people talk about the three R's, or the reduce, reuse, and recycle, as being the sort of rules to live by when it comes to garbage. And I think one of the most important things is the fact that reduce is the first one of the three R's, because the message there is that we really need to be thinking about being less wasteful in the first place, so that we don't have to worry about the reusing and the recycling as much, because we don't have as much stuff that we have to deal with. So reduce means really thinking about what you need, really thinking about not trying to be wasteful in getting all kinds of material, whether it's toys or clothes, or getting more than you need. So that's an important thing that we all need to start thinking about, is how do we actually avoid accumulating so much stuff, so that at some point in the future we end up with a problem when that stuff isn't of use to us anymore. So reduce is very important. Reuse is the next best thing. So it means you make sure that you're not throwing things out that are still useful. And then recycle is, again, another way to pull material out of the waste stream and give it a new life by turning it into something else or making it into something new again. So those are the golden rules of I guess, conservation when it comes to trying to get rid of the problems that we have with garbage, that reduce, reuse, and recycle. The future for waste disposal in Hamilton, anyway, it's a kind of exciting future, an exciting new path that the city is heading down. They're trying to move. There's a new plan in place. They call it their Solid Waste Management Master Plan, big long name. But what it's going to do is it's going to help us as a community to move away from relying on an incinerator to burn our garbage or a landfill to bury our garbage in. And instead, we're going to be able to rely on a recycling program that's much more comprehensive. So there'll be lots more different things that we'll be able to put into the recycling box to avoid having that stuff end up in the garbage. The city is also looking at a large-scale composting program. So that means that everyone would have the opportunity to take any of that organic waste, and as well as others. It's a pretty holistic, all-encompassing kind of program. Well, there's lots of material we'll be able to put in what they're calling a green cart that would go at the end of the curb on garbage day, but it would be taken away and composted, so it wouldn't be dealt with as garbage at all. And then that will get us to the point where we'll probably only be generating waste. Again, that's the stuff that you can't really do anything else with, because in addition to those two programs, we're going to have these reuse centers up and running, programs to make sure that any nasty toxic chemicals don't end up in the garbage, but that can be taken away and properly handled. So you'll just end up with what I call the residue, the stuff that you can't do anything else with. But I think that's a really good thing, because we get all these new programs in place, and you'll really be able to see what kind of garbage there is that you can't do anything else with. And I know in my house right now, I compost everything that I can, I recycle everything that I can, I try to reuse or pass on to someone else things that I might otherwise want to throw out. And usually what's left in my garbage bag at the end of the week is packaging waste that I can't do anything else with. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how we all, as people living in this area, start thinking about garbage when these new programs come into place, because they'll help us to realize who's left that's not doing their job in helping to reduce the amount of garbage that we produce. And I think one of the biggest problems is the packaging. Who's creating that packaging? That's a problem. So it'll help us to start thinking about who are the manufacturers, who are the companies and the industries out there that are creating this problem that's leaving us with this residue that really is garbage that we don't want, that we don't want to have to deal with. So we're heading down an exciting pathway that's going to help us to do the right thing as people living in Hamilton, but it's also going to help to pinpoint who the bad guys are that are still out there, who we need to focus attention on changing.
The average North American consumes 5 times more than a Mexican, 10 times more than a Chinese person, and 30 times more than a person from India. We are the most voracious consumers in the world. A world that could die because of the way we North Americans live. Give it a rest. November 29 is Buy Nothing Day.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Fast food is a huge one. You know, you think about all the waste that's generated. I mean, imagine in a day how many garbage bags McDonald's must fill up. And that's going to be a challenge, getting those kinds of businesses to change the way that they do things. I was out at Tim Hortons today and I brought my own mug. And that's what I do all the time. And it's not a big deal. You can pop your mug into your bag before you run out of the house. And that's a really nice way to be able to go out and enjoy your cup of coffee, but not contribute to that problem of creating garbage that we can't do anything else with. And on that note, there are lots of other things you can do too. And it's funny because these are things that probably if we talked to our grandparents, they would tell us, oh, well, that's the way we always did things. For instance, when you need to blow your nose, most people grab a tissue out of a box, they blow their nose, and then they throw the tissue away. Well, when I talk to I'm older, so when I talk to my mother even, and my grandmother, and my father and my grandfather, they all used handkerchiefs. And even they've stopped doing that now. Now, I've started to do that again, because I think to myself, that makes a whole lot of sense. It's a very simple way to avoid having to create more garbage by using something that you use it once, you throw it in the wash, you can use it again. And there are lots of examples like that. If you think about what you do in your day, right from the time that you get out of bed in the morning, right until you hop back into bed and go to sleep for the night, there are all kinds of things that you can do that involve you thinking about how you're creating garbage, how you yourself are doing that, and how you might be able to change it. So those are a couple of examples. Another, for instance, when you sit down for lunch and you want to wipe your mouth because you've got ketchup all over your face from your veggie burger or whatever, use a cloth napkin. And again, another example of a nice way to avoid creating that kind of garbage. And it's not all that difficult to do once you get into the habit of doing exactly that. I guess I ought to let you know.
Chomsky, you're listening to Radio Free School on CFMU 93.3.
SWARU stands for Solid Waste Area Reduction Unit, and it's a sort of nicer name for our big garbage incinerator. It's like a big huge furnace that burns most of the garbage that people generate in the city of Hamilton. And unfortunately, it burns a lot of things that it shouldn't be. I've been inside that big monster of a plant, and you see a lot of recyclable material that gets fed in, a lot of organic waste, things that shouldn't be going through. SWARU was built in 1972, so it's an old incinerator. It's located in the northeast end of Hamilton, very close to where I live. I look out the back window of my house and I could see the SWARU stack from my back window and from my back garden. And it sends out, of course, the garbage gets burnt. And even though there's pollution control to stop any bad stuff from getting out of the stack, it's out-of-date pollution control systems that operate on that plant. So what happens is that we get chemicals getting out into the environment, and these include things like a group of chemicals that are called dioxins. These are a huge problem because we know that dioxins can cause cancer in humans. We also know that dioxins are what you call fat-loving chemicals, so that if they get into your body, they like to build up in the fat in your body. So it can create all kinds of problems, not only for humans, but for animals and fish and any other living organisms that have fat, because that dioxin gets stuck there, and it's then inside of you, and there's the possibility it could cause health problems. So this is why we've been raising a lot of concerns about SWARU, not only because of the air pollution, but I think also because SWARU, because you burn garbage there, it discourages better ways to handle your garbage, like the recycling and the composting and the not creating the waste in the first place. It makes it easy for people to say, oh, well, I can throw that garbage at the end of the curb because it'll just get burned anyway. So with SWARU, we've really, myself and other people who are concerned about what that plant is doing to our environment, we've really pushed to make the city clean that facility up and ideally to close it down sooner rather than later. So what's happened right now is two citizens, myself and a man named Mark Muldoon, we prepared some comments to the Provincial Ministry of the Environment outlining all of the concerns that we had about SWARU. And because of what we did, the province, the Ministry of the Environment, went in and took a closer look, and they agreed with us on a lot of the concerns that we raised. And they went to the city of Hamilton and said, hey, you guys, you know, there are things you need to do to fix the problems here. Unfortunately, City of Hamilton's not very happy about that. So the city is trying to say, no, give us more time. We think you're being unfair and making us fix these problems so fast. And so there's a little bit of a fight happening between the city and the Ministry of the Environment where this facility is concerned. But I'm hopeful that they'll resolve their differences and do the right thing for all of us to protect our health and to help us to move towards a better, a more environmentally friendly way to deal with our garbage. One of the problems that they raise concerns about if we shut Saguaro down right away is that they don't feel that they're ready yet with their new plan for dealing with garbage in a better way. And in some, I agree with them that they aren't. They actually need to build a new facility that would allow us to have large-scale composting. They need to enhance an existing facility to be able to deal with more recycled material. So there are some things they need to do to get us to where we need to go. And in the meantime, if garbage doesn't go to Saguaro, the bulk of it has to go to the Glanbrook landfill site in the city. And the city's really worried about the landfill filling up too quickly, because as soon as it's full, they say they'll have to look for another site for a landfill, and that's a very difficult thing to do. So that's one of the reasons why they have some concerns about having to close Saguaro down right away. The interesting thing is that they really don't have to, as far as I'm concerned, and I think the Ministry of the Environment agrees with me on that. The ministry's come to them and said, fix this place, but they haven't said, do it right away. They've given the city some time. So that's part of the reason why there's a battle there. There's some confusion over whether they need to, the city thinks they need to deal with the problems, some significant problems right away. The ministry has given them a time frame to work within to fix the pollution problems. So we'll see where that goes. But there are impacts. I think the main one is if we close Saguaro down today, everything goes to the landfill. And the main fear there is that concern about filling the landfill up too quickly. Well, I can understand that we may not be ready to close it down right away. And I guess my view is let's take a year and work through some of these other issues, work on getting these new facilities at least sited and get us closer to having them open so we can do our composting and our recycling. But I have a difficult time with letting Saguaro go for longer than that, because I know about the chemicals that are coming out of the stack. So I'm thinking not only about the garbage problem, but I'm also thinking about our health and the health of other living beings in the environment around us, and what is this place doing to us. Right now, Saguaro is the largest source of dioxin in Canada. So that's pretty serious, largest source to air. And it's scary, it scares me. I live so close and I keep thinking maybe I should move away. Certainly, you know, sooner is better for me. But I'm an environmentalist, so of course I want to make sure that sooner doesn't create huge headaches in other parts of the community for other people. And the Glanbrook situation is one that the city is wrestling with right now. All of this discussion about Saguaro and about the landfill, I know it's got me and a lot of other people who I talk to thinking again about garbage and how society, Canadian society, and I guess U.S. society, American society as well, we're big pigs when it comes to garbage. And you know, one of the things that I always do, if you walk into any grocery store today, go into the grocery store and have a look at what you see on the shelves. And think about the number of products in there that are completely unnecessary and that create that kind of garbage we can't do anything else with. And I think about the grocery store near me. I live near a giant Fortino's store. And you walk down one aisle where it's all disposable napkins and styrofoam cups and styrofoam plates, and everything is disposable. Ask yourself why. Why have we let that happen? And how do we change it? How do we reverse it so that we stop relying on that convenience of things that you can just throw away? I mean, it may seem wonderful and easy at the time, but what's the trade-off for us and for future generations by behaving the way that we do now? I know that there is some sort of a plant out Toronto way that takes old tires and sort of crumbles them up into almost like grainy bits. And there are things that they're doing with them. I remember going to this one place just outside of Kitchener-Waterloo. It's sort of an eco-designed camp house building sort of thing. And everything that they used in there, they're powered by the sun and the wind, and they used a lot of recycled material to build this building. And one of the things that they had there was all of the flooring in this neat house was made from recycled tires. So it was sort of, when you stepped on it, it was kind of bouncy, but it was all designed to be really long-lasting flooring for a place where, you know, there would be a lot of people coming and going, but it was made from old tires. So I know that there are creative things that can be done even with old tires, and there are people out there who are thinking about how you do that. The other one to mention too, sort of related, not so much related to the tires, but the plastic pop bottles, and how those plastic pop bottles are being taken and being used to make polar fleece. So you can buy a polar fleece jacket that's made out of old pop bottles, which is, I guess, a heck of a lot better than not doing anything with the old pop bottles. Not as good, though, if you think about it, as having glass bottles on the shelf that you can take back and the pop producer can use over and over again, but better than nothing. We were just talking about garbage and generating energy from garbage, and one thing I didn't mention is that Swaru is an energy from waste facility. So you burn the garbage and you generate heat and steam to power a turbine, and that power is used in the Woodward Avenue sewage treatment plant. So that's a benefit, but at the same time, I guess you have to look at what the trade-offs are for generating energy in that way, in an old facility that has these problem emissions to air. One other thing I also didn't talk about is that in Swaru, when you burn garbage, you end up with ash, like the ash from your fireplace, but it's ash that's hazardous. So how do you deal with that sort of material? And Swaru's had an interesting history too, because there's a magical way that the private company that runs Swaru makes that ash non-hazardous. But we've learned that over the past couple of years, that magical process wasn't working so well, so that we ended up with ash that really wasn't safe, that was going into our landfill. And who knows what kinds of problems that might create in the future. Another thing, sort of unrelated but related at the same time, is that we were talking about sources of energy, getting power from waste in other ways. And in Hamilton, we've got a whole lot of industry on the waterfront that gives off a lot of heat, waste heat, through, you know, stacks, through steam coming off of steelmaking processes. And there are lots of places now where those industries are thinking about how can we harness that energy and actually use it so that it's not just going off into the air and being wasted. I guess it's another example of recycling or reusing in a positive way.
You are listening to Radio Free School on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM 97.9 FM in Fredericton, New Brunswick.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy?
Cash or charge? Rise with
regular
us?
Or run away?
Yeah, miles.
Credit or debit? MasterCard?
Need a break?
November 29th is Buy Nothing Day.
For more information, visit www.adbusters.org.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Oh, garbage. We're filling up the seas with garbage. What will we do when there's no place left to put all the garbage?
Educating Mama. Educating Mama is a zine that reflects the radical end of the homeschooling alternative. You've got a woman, Nina Packerbush, who's raising her own free-range, self-directed learners, putting this zine together because she recognizes the need for community, connection, and support between other like-minded feminist mamas. And Mother Earth knows we need it.
You homeschool? You must never, ever get any time for yourself. Poor you.
Sound familiar? Homeschooling feminists, I hear some of you exclaiming in surprise. Isn't that an oxymoron? Well, no, actually. For those of you who aren't aware that we exist, Packerbush's tidy little zine is at the ready to cut you straight. And for those of you already living this kind of homeschooling lifestyle, Educating Mama will thrill you because you're going to relate to the issues and topics that are covered. Tired of people quizzing your kids? What's 3 times 7? What day comes after Monday? Homeschooling with depression? Still unschooling yourself? Packerbush, along with other contributing mamas, share their concerns, interests, and views, their gripes and their bliss, in an honest, brave, and funny way. Frogs and hikes, outer space and Star Wars, clever things the kids say, stupid things the world says. Real life living. The educated mother's hiding nothing. There's Nina, who's a self-proclaimed TV snob, fessing up about her secret passion for the Teletubbies, for Christ's sakes. How honest can you get? Educating Mama is fun, informative, and makes you feel like you're not alone out there in the world of mainstream living. Here, creativity and being odd are honored and celebrated. Reading this zine might inspire you to start your own zine. Nina tells you why you should. It might inspire you to contribute to Edgy. She's always on the lookout for stuff. Essays, rants, thoughts, cartoons, photos, jokes, recipes, book reviews, anything. Or at the very least, subscribe. $10 Canadian for a year. And it's worth every cent.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.